The Around the NFL Podcast. Wait, where are all the Jets hats? Dan?
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I'm joined by a room filled with some heroes. Mark Sessler, Greg Rosenthal. Oh, and joining us for the first time in a full show capacity, at least, Nick Shook.
Hey, Dan.
Who's Nick Shook? You want to know who Nick Shook is? Nick Shook.
A baller. That's what he is.
Nick Shook, and this is our video show, so right away you're like, whoa, who is this dude? Very well built, extremely masculine. Nick Shook works on the editorial team downstairs in the newsroom. Has been with the company for a couple of years, right?
Two or three combined, years almost? Yeah, took a little sabbatical.
Took a sabbatical, but is definitely highly knowledgeable. Also, another Browns fan.
Oh,
there seems to be quite a few Browns fans considering the plight.
Oh, what do you know? They're actually loyal through the course of their life. They don't just move to another city and pick up what other team happens to be operating there in the zip code.
Very nice. Well played, Mark.
Well, Shook is an ally. Well, okay. You know, Shook and I have been through some tough times. I like to tell Shook what it's like to watch a team that hasn't won in three-plus decades. He likes to tell me about one that hasn't won in two-plus decades.
Right. It's somehow a stranger argument coming from a man who grew up in Connecticut and roots for the Browns. But you've been loyal. You know what I mean? You've been loyal.
It is fair, but
there's no Connecticut.
This guy is from Cleveland.
There's
He's from
no
the
Connecticut
heart of Cleveland,
insurance
maybe.
Workers playing on Sunday, so you had to pick a team.
Mark, by the way, we do want to touch base real quick. So, Nick, welcome to the show. Happy to have you for our Around the NFC in 48 minutes we're going to get to. We needed help, so we go to the bullpen, and we're excited. Mark, last time we talked to you, you were racing back from an urgent care clinic. Here's, in case you missed our last show, a quick rundown of what happened with Mark last show.
Together. Major laceration on the left index finger, on the left index finger, on the left index finger. Hey, let's just glue this together. Hey, let's just glue this together.
Hey, let's just glue this together.
All right, so major laceration, and you went to the urgent care and got it stitched up. A smaller cast on your hand, but still a lot of gauze. Where are you at physically right now?
Well, that ridiculous thing that was on the hand before, I switched it over. Yes. And the beeping makes sense. I looked at it. It does not look good. I'm going to be honest. It just doesn't look good. And they have me on some bizarre antibiotic where I feel slightly dizzy and nauseous all the time. So,
is Mark okay?
Listen, the last time Shook was on the show, I was on the couch at home sidelined with another health issue. So this could be huge for Shook.
I hope Wes isn't at home recovering from the big C. He's doing great. You know, lost his voice a little bit listening to us moan about the finger.
What do you say? Why are you marginalizing?
Two times in roughly 2 minutes, Greg taking everything that I'm about and just saying you're kind of worthless to Greg.
Of course, this is the Around the NFL Podcast presented by New Era. And now we have all the hats. If you're watching the video show, which is live on NFL.com at 9:30 Eastern, 6:30 Pacific, overseas, figure it out. All the hats on display. We're all wearing hats for today's show. Greg, you're going with the Patriots visor that neatly matches your NFL Network shirt. So you kind of look like a guy that, like one of Belichick's underpaid assistants.
Not happy about it either.
Yeah,
what's the issue with the clothing?
I'm happy. Yeah, I'm like the guy who holds the red hanky for him and hands it to him.
Right. You're basically Eric Mangini in 1997.
I would take that.
Yeah,
I was going to give you a better job than that. I thought you could be like next to Josh McDaniels with your arms folded.
Yeah. All right, so today we got a lot to get to, so let's get to it. Matty Stafford got paid. Oh, my goodness. As I teased moments earlier, we did the AFC on Monday. Today, around the NFC, and I mean around the NFC in 48 minutes. And Joe Hayden, no longer a Brown. And, guys, I got a little news. Now – a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers. My goodness. So we'll get into that, and we'll talk to the Browns fans in the room. But before we do any of that, we say hello behind the glass to the great Erica Tamposi. Some people call her a loose cannon. I just call her LC. What's up?
That's right. How's it going?
It's going great. You have your Patriots cap on. This is our final New Era show, so we're really blowing it out.
I came up, I don't know if you saw it on Twitter, but New Era-ca. Like, where's my brand deal?
See, this is why.
Always. Always with Erica.
Always looking for that angle, building the brand.
Oh, yeah. She's
ruthless.
She's running her own fantasy league with listeners.
Is that true?
No, I couldn't film my
own. Special Tim Posey fantasy.
I think it's great.
I couldn't film my own with my own. I don't have any friends.
Wow.
I have zero friends.
Brand power.
Hey.
No friends.
You got four on this side of the glass, Erica.
Thank
you. Let's do some news. All right. Let's start with the latest and what has been, you know, a tragedy down in Texas and along the Gulf Coast. Now Hurricane Harvey, which continues to batter the region. There, as a result of the storm and the unprecedented flooding, the Texans were in a very difficult spot with their final preseason game. There was a plan for the Cowboys and Texans to move and play their game at AT&T Stadium in Arlington, which, of course, is the Cowboys' home field. But that has now been canceled, both teams announced, according to Mike Garafolo at NFL Network. One of the reasons for canceling the game now is for players to get back to Houston, help out in the relief efforts, and be with their families. So no final preseason game between the Cowboys and Texans. But there is, Greg, some positive signs amidst the devastation down there that we might be getting back to approaching normalcy in terms of the long road back to that.
Well, for football, yes. I took some news that Rick Smith, their general manager, said the plan was to play week one in Houston, that they would be hosting the game against the Jaguars. I don't think that's official, but he said that's the plan, and I'm sure that'll be an emotional day. I think it's going to be a long recovery for the region, but you can understand, of course you go home. Like, if they would have had to stay there an extra 48 hours knowing that their kids, in some cases, and their house and their families and their wives are there, and you just, like, you have to stay there for the fourth preseason game, it seemed a little crazy. So they sounded like they were very excited to get on the bus and head back to Houston.
And for everyone to know, because one of the great you know, human stories out of this that's come out of this is how much everyone has helped and pitched in across the country. J.J. Watt has been a major part of that, and a lot of teams chipping in. You can too. You could join the NFL family in helping those affected by Hurricane Harvey by texting keyword Harvey to 90999 to donate $10 to the American Red Cross Hurricane Harvey Relief. Your donation enables the Red Cross to respond and help people recover from this disaster. Please donate today and help those in need. You could also visit www.redcross.org/NFL. There's a lot of, when these type of tragedies happen and there's massive relief efforts, there's a lot of scams that pop up. Make sure you're donating to the right places. That one's foolproof. Moving on to football news. We hinted earlier, Joe Hayden, no longer a member of the Browns, the former first-round pick who had been there since 2010 and was once their best player, has slipped in the last couple of years with some injuries, and now the Browns made the decision to cut ties with the former Pro Bowler. Nick Shook, we'll start with you on this one. Just as we started the show, he agreed to a 3-year deal with the Steelers. How difficult is it, let's start here, as a Browns fan, to see him go from Cleveland to Pittsburgh, your arch rival?
The first time this happened in my life was when punter Chris Gardocki defected from the Browns to the Steelers.
Right at that level.
Gardocki!
Right
back in the day, and that was heartbreaking. I've since grown into an adult, and it doesn't affect me as much, or if at all. Joe Hayden lost a step in the last year and a half, whether anybody likes to admit it or not. He has dealt with injuries. Having a how would you characterize a groin injury? That's going to make you a little bit slower too.
Right,
but
sure.
You could tell he's not an 8-figure cornerback anymore. He's not a top 5 cornerback, and I mean, even some of the highlights that we run now, if there isn't a safety to help him there, he's getting burned. Hmm. And the rest of the division knew that. So, I mean, the Steelers.
Steelers didn't know it.
This is a pretty big contract for a team that might know that. But then again, you know, maybe
I think the Steelers know it because they were willing to give Cleveland. I mean, listen, whenever you can take from the Browns on a contract that Cleveland will help split the bill on, why not? They gave Cleveland a draft pick for Justin Gilbert, so they're always willing to test the waters. They'll play Cleveland in week one. I find that to be, you know, it bothered me last year when Cleveland agreed to the trade with the Eagles that allowed the Eagles to get Carson Wentz, and you knew Carson Wentz was playing Cleveland in the opener, that there'd be a way to kind of create issues right away with that trade. And this is not a trade, but the idea that Joe Haden probably could be lining up for Pittsburgh immediately.
Oh, sure.
You know, week one and dealing with Cleveland and probably, you know, offering secrets about Cleveland's plan. That said, I'm with Shook that this was something that we've mentioned on the podcast more than once this offseason, that Hayden's contract was untenable. Cleveland is aggressively moving in a new direction, and I don't have a problem with Cleveland parting ways here with Joe Haden.
It's a huge move for Pittsburgh, though. They're giving him $7 million this season. So that's not top-shelf starter money. That's just kind of mid-level veteran starter money. But that's significant. That's, hey, we're desperate at the position. We don't know who we're going to start. It was going to be Ross Cockrell, I believe – their third-round pick Cam Sutton was maybe in the mix, or Cody Sensma. Like, they did not feel comfortable at cornerback at all, and they're looking for Haden to come in and kind of shore up that position.
And I found this interesting. Adam Schefter reports that Haden had bigger offers from other teams that he turned down because he wanted Pittsburgh, so he stays in the AFC North. In a similar situation, David Harris going to the Patriots. I'm happy for him. I hope he does well. But
what about
also,
Darrell Revis going to the Patriots?
Yeah,
I mean, there is some similar DNA there.
You'd rather him not end up with your division rival.
No.
You want him to do well, but that's it.
I'd like to see him with the Lions. Just get him deep into the distance, right?
And one quick other note on the Browns. Cameron Irving, a draft bust from 2015, traded to the Chiefs for a fifth rounder. So the Browns continue to accumulate draft picks. Also in the news, Matthew Stafford got paid. That is the business of quarterback in the NFL. If you are above average, if you're on the right side of the Dalton scale, you're going to get a lot of money. And Detroit and Stafford agreed to terms on a five-year deal worth $135 million, $92 million in guarantees. He is now the highest-paid player in the league, Greg. Tell me what this says about the landscape financially in the NFL.
Just means he's up next, and we keep having this conversation. I still think he's underpaid. He actually takes up less of the salary cap than many quarterbacks like Aaron Rodgers did when he first signed his deal, because the salaries have exploded, and it hasn't really caught up quarterback-wise compared to defensive ends making $18 million a year. So this story got on a lot of talk radio, sports radio's radar. Oh, how can Matthew Stafford be the top player in the league? It's like he'll be the 12th best paid quarterback in 3 years, and so then it'll make
a lot
more
sense. We all need to catch up on the quarterback thing. It's just the latest.
They're all going to be over $30 million before too long. Kirk Cousins especially is going to help blow it out.
All right, and that's what's happening in the news. We've got to keep moving. Congratulations, Maddie. That'll pay for a lot of diapers, as he tweeted yesterday.
he timed this well. He got that money being the number one overall pick before this CBA came in, just like Sam Bradford. And now he's coming in after the salary cap. Both him and Sam Bradford have made an insane amount of money considering, compared to a Tom Brady or a Peyton Manning or Drew Brees. Like, those two guys timed everything perfect.
It's a little aggravating to me as somebody that has to pay for diapers and it costs a lot of money for that to be one of the go-to bits for guys after they sign a big contract. Whew, now I can take care of these diapers.
Oh,
yeah.
It's like,
hey,
all right.
A, they're expensive, and there's a constant.
Are they really that expensive?
Bro.
Well, maybe not for you, Greg, but on the salaries that Dan and I are operating on, they took a chunk out of the household budget. I can confirm.
Extremely expensive.
Worst thing to buy, diapers, waffle fries.
Worst thing?
Why, that's
among
a random
quarterbacks who got paid. Derek Carr.
Well, that's right. That's right. And of course, Joe Flacco famously went to McDonald's after he got his massive contract. All right. Now it's time for the training camp spotlight presented by New Era. All right. Greg, cue us up here. There are names out there. Trades happen in the league this time of year. Real quick, throw out some names that could be on the move, in your opinion.
Yeah, I think this week,
I don't know.
Yeah, all the players are getting cut after the Thursday night game. So it's going to be a deluge of players, and there's a lot of trade talks. A couple names I think to watch, Brock Osweiler, if he doesn't get traded, and I'd be shocked if he did, will he get cut? I tend to think yes. Once you put these guys up on the trade block, they usually get cut. TJ Ward is another one in Denver. Matt Forte, I don't know why they would cut him when he's guaranteed $4 million. Looked pretty good the other day, but he's another name.
Well, they don't want to win games. That would be one.
That seems
one
to be
reason.
It.
Yeah, that's fair. Sheldon Richardson has really killed it in the preseason. I'm wondering if they really make one last gasp to try to get him moved before the season. He could help someone, and in a contract year, I think he's somebody that if you're a team that needs help on the defensive line, maybe it'll cost you a second or third rounder, but you get a guy that can really win games for you potentially. Not bad either.
Well, one quick Jets thing. Is it a total disservice to Matt Forte to wait this long to decide what to do with him? Now he's got to try to go catch up with somewhere else if he gets cut.
Ask Joe Hayden the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, Hayden, I agree, that's fair. But, I mean, Hayden at some point had a chance in camp, I think, to truly be a starter for Cleveland. With Matt Forte, it's like they obviously cut bait on all these veterans. And now he's not going to get a starting job somewhere.
They didn't cut him because the money was guaranteed, and they made the decision to try to hold on to him. I guess he's probably been shot for a while. That is the training camp spotlight presented by New Era.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of which, New Era's NFL training collection has a great combination of innovative performance and style with features like UV protection, moisture wicking, and cooling technology. There's no reason you shouldn't make the New Era NFL training collection a part of your daily attire. Available at retailers like Lids, NFLShop.com, and Dick's Sporting Goods in your favorite team. Daily attire, Nick Shook.
I'm a big fan of New Era, and you can't tell by this hat, but I'm bald. So
yeah,
oh, that's a good point.
As a bald guy,
yeah,
you need something to dress up.
You're really checking all the boxes. You're a Browns fan. You're checking the bald box for Wes sitting in his seats.
Yeah.
So what box do I check for you?
Well, you've
got a great box.
Can I say you're checking the box of I've been pumping up Kevin Patrick for 3 years in this podcast for his bod. And now we got like a young Arnold sitting in the studio, and it's now I feel weird about the Patrick thing. How do I ever go back to as nice as Patrick's bod is, after seeing what I've seen, you know, filet-mignon.
I think it's great. Patrick has that bulletin board that he has up on his wall, and he's got a lot to write on it now.
Yeah.
So does anyone that claims to be in shape on any level. I mean, if there's an argument that human beings came from like multiple different planets, when he walks around the newsroom, he'd be an argument because he literally looks like a different human being than most other men in the room. So,
anybody else want to objectify Nick's body before we move?
No, I think he likes it though. He seems to like it.
I was walking down the street with my girlfriend the other day, and I walked past a construction crew, and
they were whistling at you.
She's in shape, and she was wearing a crop top, and they said stuff to me, not her. She was upset.
Wow.
How about that?
Almost gotten into a problem.
He loves it. Yeah. That's not he likes it.
Absolutely.
No, it's part of life.
You know what it's part?
It's part of the good life.
You know what it is? You put in a lot of work on that bod. Yes or no?
Yeah.
How many times a week are you working out?
Five.
Oh, my God. How many
hours?
What
do you do in the other 2 days?
I don't want to sound like that guy, but I would say like active rest, playing basketball, that kind of thing. Rest is important too.
Yeah.
Probably an hour and a half each time.
Okay. Do the math, guys. 15 hours pumping iron.
I'm also not married. I don't have kids.
So he all that work, now he gets to show out now and say, this is what the work gave.
Most of us didn't have kids deep into our 30s, and we never achieved anything close. So that's not, you know.
Yeah. Is this getting weird? Erica, is this getting weird?
It's beyond weird.
I mean, a little weird. But it's like, it's fine.
All right.
It's cool.
Junior Belichick over here, you know, pretending like he's not a part of it. You're looking at the bod, too. All right.
I feel like I need to cover up.
All right, so we did it. Let's move on. So we did it on Monday around the AFC. And just so you're aware, Nick, we don't go through. We don't kind of jump in and out. We go around the NFC in 48 minutes, 3 minutes per team. And we'll start in the NFC East. And, Greg, we will start with you. Erica, are we ready to start the clock?
I mean, this is our NFC preview right here.
Yeah, we're ready.
Give us a little foghorn to get us going. Eagles, go.
If football is won in the trenches, they always say that, football's won up front.
Okay.
Don't we have to take the Eagles seriously as a contender in this division? Because for their defensive line, Timmy Jernigan could be one of the best pickups of the offseason next to Fletcher Cox and Brandon Graham. That's a great defensive line. The offensive line's pretty strong. Not quite with the Cowboys, but I think they believe it'll be a strength of their team. This is a team built from the inside out, and I think they have to feel pretty good about both of their lines heading into the season.
Are you getting sucked in by the Eagles again?
Just what I do.
I feel like of any team that I watched on Game Pass live during the preseason, that Philly's front seven interrupted and created chaos for every quarterback they faced. I don't buy it so much with what I saw in the ground game and on the
offensive line had a bad preseason, so I think they have to worry about that. But on paper, I think they like the players.
Defense was completely different than last year's team.
Now, Greg, when is the last time you didn't pick the Eagles to win the NFC East?
It's been a while. I just like to be consistent, you know, pick what you want to happen anyway. So why not? Just
why
pick
is that?
That?
I'm just let's dig pick, into that just things. A little bit real quick.
Like I picked the Packers and the Patriots. Yeah. In the Super Bowl every year for a long, long time. I don't know.
What are we expecting from Carson Wentz this year? Because I know he showed good and bad traits last year. Nick, what do you think?
I don't even think that would be the problem. I mean, you have your second year, which tends to be the year when those, especially guys who got a lot of experience in the rookie year, take that next step because, you know, the game slows down and everything. My problem with them is where is he going outside of Alshon Jeffrey and Zach Ertz? Like, they put a lot of pressure on Nelson Aguilar to be something worthwhile, and I haven't seen it so far. And if you're going into a season and relying on him as one of your best targets.
Torrey Smith, you hope, can take the top off.
I like Matt Collins a little bit.
You have some running backs that can catch the ball. I don't know. I've heard good arguments from smart people that Carson Wentz is the next guy. He's the guy to build around in the entire NFL. I've heard good arguments from smart people that Wentz was, you know, a mess last year, and there's no reason to believe in particular that he's going to be an above-average quarterback anytime soon. I don't know what to believe. Like, I have no idea what's going to happen with Wentz. Either way, wouldn't surprise me.
It happens with these. After one year, there's a lot of assumptions drawn on quarterbacks. We saw it with Derek Carr. We saw it with Blake Bortles. We've seen it with Carson Wentz. Maybe we stop drawing these conclusions after one season.
I keep on catching a glimpse of you, Greg, in the video monitor with the way the shirt matches the cap. It looks like a Halloween costume.
It wasn't planned. Yeah, it wasn't planned. I definitely do look like I'm, especially with the headset. I really do kind of look like I'm calling in plays. Like,
yeah. Or it's like senior year of college and someone's throwing like a Halloween party and you're playing Belichick.
Poor Eagles. Didn't even get talked about. Graham Cox, Jernigan, that is there, I believe, with one of the best trios in the league. They're going to be in the mix.
Dallas Cowboys. All right, the Cowboys won last year. Why, guys? Why? I'll tell you why. They had a rookie quarterback who could make plays, limit mistakes, and a dominant running game that could chew up the clock, close out games. Pretty easy if you can get that formula. It's not easy to get the formula. But with Zeke sidelined potentially until week 8, and we don't know that. That could even come down before you hear this, what's going on with his appeal. But as of right now, it's still the 6-week suspension. If with him sidelined, is the formula compromised? And is the Dallas defense, which was effectively hidden last year, about to be exposed? Anthony Hitchens' injury won't help matters. Mark Sessler.
I don't like when I hear people say that once we've seen someone like Darren McFadden come in the preseason and run well in games where no one's game planning, that this is a kind of a running back proof offense, that Ezekiel Elliott wasn't really a difference maker. I think anyone that watched him last year saw a really rare athlete, someone that was a completely different type of guy. So missing him is huge. The idea that an offensive line is going to continue to play the way it does year after year, they've had some changes in personnel, is another assumption. So I need to see it before I make sure that's going to happen.
I'm on board with that because and I'll give you my hot take at the end of this, but
wow, you're saving.
Whoa, look at that. Ooh, yeah. Like a vet.
That's a tease. Yeah. This line is missing pieces. You know, they relied on Leary last year. He's gone. Doug Free, gone. And you might not have your best running back, and there's a way that he runs, like you said, that's specific and unique to his, I guess, body type, and also in the way that he can find a hole that your average running back, Darren McFadden or Alfred Morris, can really.
But they have three All Pros, and they believe they're better at right tackle. We'll see if they are, but they believe they're better at right tackle for Lyle Collins. So they have one real major trouble spot, left guard, where it looks like it's going to be Jonathan Cooper by default. That's a problem. I think the one thing we haven't talked about yet, and it's typical of this show, which is amazing to think about, is Dak Prescott. Like, Dak Prescott, where is that ceiling for him? We haven't talked about him much, and if he was a first-round picker, I don't know. Considering he's on the Cowboys, his ceiling should be the best quarterback in the league because we have not seen a quarterback come into the league and be that good. If he takes the normal second-year leap, he's going to be unbelievable.
He has played, put this how much stock you want to put into it, but he's played lights out this summer in his practices. All you read is raves about how smooth and how in control he is. They've talked about giving him a bigger role. Dez Bryant is healthy. There is a chance, and I'm concerned if I'm a Cowboys fan that'll be hard to replicate last season. But the way the path back to 12-4, 13-3 is Dak takes that next step and is even better. And then when Zeke gets back, everything kind of comes together and you're a force.
Yeah, biggest issue, yeah. I think, is that the fact that division, I wouldn't surprise me if any of the teams won the division. Would not surprise me.
It's a wide open division.
Hot take, the Cowboys don't make it. They don't make the playoffs because of their defense.
Up next, Nick Shook.
All right, so we have the New York Giants, which you know what you're going to get in the New York Giants pass defense. You're going to you know what you're going to get from most of that front seven. But the big question mark this entire preseason, and we don't want to put too much stock in the preseason, but you know that's all we have to work with right now, is that offensive line. And specifically the right guard position, which has been John Jerry. They've rotated some other guys in there. And left tackle Ereck Flowers hasn't exactly been the best either. You saw the results of that in
terrible.
The Giants failing to score an offensive touchdown until the third preseason game, which was against the New York Jets. That's what they needed to get into the end zone. And
ouch.
I think that's where the concern lies. They have the weapons, but can they protect Eli Manning? I'm not sure they can, and I'm not sure they can have the best running game either as a result.
It's a familiar problem. They had the issue last year. Eli did not get the time he needed, and he didn't play well. And we talked about it during the free agency draft process that when you're a team with that situation, with a line issue, and it's not a good draft for a line, and there's not a lot of great free agency options, like how do you get better? How do you fix that problem? It's not easy.
They doubled down on the guys that they had in terms of Flowers and Hart, and they're thinking they'll get better. I'm interested to see how this offense looks because we've heard Brandon Marshall's been a little slow to get up to speed there in terms of learning that offense. And when I watch him, to me, Sterling Shepard is going to be a much bigger factor than Brandon Marshall. And with Odell Beckham hurt early in the season, he's going to be even a bigger factor. And Evan Ingram, I know it's only the preseason, but he looks like he might skip that every rookie tight end isn't that big a factor early. I mean, Ingram and Shepard, if the two of them end up making a big-time impact, that improves the offense.
I really have concerns about the line. The running game in that division and in general just trying to get deep into the season has not improved, which is why I picked them for some reason in August to go to the Super Bowl. Very concerned about that selection.
That's a hot pick. That's a
why
hot
not?
Pick.
Why not?
Say why not with them. Well, because
on paper,
I think
they could
defense
be
the defense, please.
They could be. I was trying to think, who's the best defense in the NFL? There's only a couple different teams that comes to mind, and they are one of them. Like that first game, Giants Cowboys could be the best offense versus the best defense.
Yeah,
I think their GM saved his job with a killer free agency haul last year, and now they have a second year together. That's what you, I guess, Mark, with your prediction, the defense is as good as last year or better, and Eli isn't done.
And it was a wildly rash
Don't
thing
back
to do
away
with
it.
Come on,
well,
stick with it.
Hey, not backing away, but I'm not. It's not logic that I'm arguing. It's just I threw it out there. Let's see what happens.
Any other final thoughts on the New York Giants?
Going back to protecting the quarterback, I know Eli's been like the Iron Man, but their backup quarterback situation would not be good if he went down.
Geno Smith may not make the team. That's another name to watch this weekend. He's coming off a torn ACL, has not played well. It'll be either him or Josh Johnson gets cut, and one of them will be the backup.
Greg, what about you? Like, that would be hurtful if Josh Johnson.
I hope they make the right decision, Giants, if you know what's good for you.
Mark, close out the division with the Washington football team.
All right, to me, watching this team, this looks like a bottom five offense from wire to wire in the preseason. I didn't see Terrell Pryor connecting or meshing with Kirk Cousins. I didn't see Kirk Cousins connecting with really anyone. Your tight end is an injury-prone guy. And honestly, I watched this team over and over wanting to see the club that over the last couple years under Gruden has really at times peaked and been an exciting offense. Deep concerns. Should I just say it's the preseason? I don't need to worry. They're going to figure it all out by week one.
Not by week one. This team hasn't played together. So you mentioned Reed was barely there.
Yep.
Pryor has not played well with Cousins. Dotson has really been off and on the field.
Coach calling him out.
So they really just haven't been on the field at the same time together. But they could warm up into it, I think.
I don't know if you can. That's my concern. The Cowboys could be in the same situation without Elliott, but warming up in the NFC East could be tough. I think that's a tough road.
I get they have not looked good, and they're changing their scheme. And I guess I'll give Kirk Cousins a little credit here. The fact that he keeps on getting $20 million contracts is he's been a producer every time he's gotten the opportunity. And I think they have the players. There's injury issues, but I'm not gonna panic yet. But it might take a little while, and in a very competitive division,
I would love to see you actually panicking over this.
Yeah, Dan just like fretting. Gosh, this Redskins offense.
I do think about them a lot.
I think their season really comes down to those two wide receivers, Pryor and Dotson, because they have to have a special offense. That's kind of the way they're built. They're an offensive team because defensively, they're just one of those teams that are hoping to be average. Like they have no hope to be a top defense. They're just hoping that they're okay, and they could be worse than okay.
Do you want Josh Norman coming after you?
Secondary's okay. Yeah. Secondary's not bad. They're pretty deep at cornerback. They like their cornerback situation.
I think this is one of the toughest divisions to try to pick in the way that it'll all pan out in the end. But I think after having this discussion, I think I see the bottom feeder here. In a good division. I mean, it's not dishonorable to go 6-10.
Yeah.
I'm picking the Redskins to come in last, too.
I think they – I do as well. I think that they're in a tough position here. But they have kind of exceeded modest expectations before. And I'm wary of that. I'm not panicking about it, but I'm wary of that.
I've got a lot of emotion tied up in this Redskins team.
I'm just trying to get to zero on the clock here.
I have a weird flashback. Really? I could talk about the Redskins all day. I have a weird flashback to last year. I think we all picked them to come in last or something like that, and then they went to the playoffs.
We've been wrong on that. We also forked them 1 year. They made the playoffs with RG3. So.
Do you like that? You like that? Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that was a thing. What else you got on the Redskins, Greg?
How about the fact that Jay Gruden didn't hire Wade Phillips when Wade Phillips wanted the job?
Oof.
And the guy he did hire only lasted one more season. Or no, one more season. I mean, I don't like their defense at all. Look at their coordinator. Running out of time.
Blow it up.
Smooth under pressure right there.
Division pick. I got the Giants.
I'm going Giants as well with the Eagles as a wild card.
I like that.
Wait, no one's picking the Cowboys?
No.
I'm going to take the Eagles just for the heck of it.
There you go. All right, let's move on to the NFC North. Greg, get us going with the defending champs of that division.
The Packers have been good for so long that we take it for granted. Rodgers is always there. Ted Thompson is always there. Mike McCarthy's always there. But they kind of have cycles. They're not where like the Patriots where they're just 12 or 13 wins all the time. And right now I think they are in a good cycle of their offense having been there and coming together all at the right time before it blows up. Jordy Nelson's fully healthy, way removed from surgery. Devontae Adams proved he can be a difference maker. Randall Cobb is there still. He's healthy. Ty Montgomery's been in that system. Their offensive line has been together and is as good as it's been in the entire Aaron Rodgers run. To me, they are in the cycle, kind of like the Steelers, where this should be the year that they are peaking. Like everything is set up for that offense, and really defensively overall, it's pretty good too, for this to be a Packers, let's get that one seed type of season.
Well, you'd almost say we could get a rematch of Packers-Pittsburgh. They met back in 2010. These are the two teams in each conference you're wondering, when will you finally get it done and get back there?
Yeah, I mean, look at it. Aaron Rodgers is, if he's not the best quarterback in the league, he's right behind Brady. And they last made it to the Super Bowl. Forget about when made it in 2010, that season. So it's like, it's time. It's time to take advantage of having this, top 10 quarterback, maybe the top 5 quarterback of all time, having the right team around him. It seems like they do this time, and that's why I'm with you. I think it's a referendum on the coaching staff. Get something done, win the 12 games, get the home games, and give yourself a clear path.
I think last year, you're right, there was a lot of uncertainty, especially in the running game. You're right, they have everything figured out on the offense for the most part. I mean, Ty Montgomery is not exactly the guy you really want to hand the ball off to, but he's still effective. I think it comes down to how their secondary plays in these situations because early in the season last year, they struggled. I mean, they were really bad for about a 5-game stretch.
Well,
so
it's what got them beat. I mean, their offense, I think, was good enough to win the Super Bowl last year. It was that secondary that got
defense
them.
Bounced back with a similar good stretch later in the year, ultimately – their defense in a division where you'd like to see that has never been a great strength, and you can Dom Capers essentially a nuclear bomb could land on Green Bay, and he would still be walking around on Lambeau.
That hair would still look the exact same.
By the way, if you are interested in Aaron Rodgers, and I've always found him to be a fascinating figure in the league, Mina Kimes of ESPN just wrote a feature that is well worth your time, and it really gives you a really good look at what the man behind. The mask?
The mustache?
Is all about the mustache?
Right now.
Lose the mustache, by the way. Come on.
Keep the mask.
Let's talk about the Minnesota Vikings. All right, new season, same question. Do the Vikings have enough offensive firepower to keep up in the NFC North. Okay, so the preseason, not going to set the Vikings fans' minds at ease. The first team offense with Sam Bradford at the controls did not score a touchdown in the final three games of the preseason. The offensive line is subpar or has been subpar both in the running and in pass protection game. There are things to be concerned about on this offense, and when your division has guys like Matt Stafford and Aaron Rodgers in it, you're going to have to score points. Is this a death blow? There are offensive issues.
That's another team that, watching Bradford, not a lot of time to throw, attempt after attempt. And it's another team like Washington where you thought a year ago you went out and got that alpha wide receiver, the guy that's going to lead your team. Instead, you have Laquon Treadwell, who's not progressing.
Maybe he'll do something this year. He might. He's playing, at least.
He might. I mean, I like Dalvin Cook so far, but it's another team that's going to need to hold teams to 14, 15 points a game.
That just doesn't work in the NFL.
So no, it doesn't. It didn't
work. Have to find ways to score more than that.
It's true, because the teams that build around defense, like the Vikings, defense is less predictable, first of all. You know, if you have a great offense, you're great every year, like normally. And there weren't any defenses that were really that big of a difference maker last year. I mean, the Vikings had ultimately a disappointing season considering all the talent they had defensively.
I hate to keep sounding like that broken record here, but this is a team that wins and loses based on how its tackles play. Because Bradford has no time to throw. They had nowhere to run last year.
Look exactly the same in the preseason.
It's one of the reasons why I kind of liked how Bradford – I thought Bradford had his best season overall, that his best two seasons really are the last two in Philly and Minnesota. That I think he's shown some progress, that if you can help him, that he'll be a solid enough starter for you.
I don't want to put this type of pressure on the kid, but once upon a time, Randy Moss came into the league, took it by storm, and transformed the entire Vikings offense. Dalvin Cook's gotten a lot of – good reviews, rave reviews. He's replacing a legend in Adrian Peterson, obviously. Maybe I should have used Peterson as the example since he's also running back and Cook is replacing him. But we're past that now. Cook, could he be a potential guy that shoots out of the box and is a monster contributor and solves a lot of issues for them?
I think he does a lot well. I mean, he catches the ball. He's an every down kind of running back.
They have good players on their offense, like Rudolph and Thielen, who's now playing the slot almost exclusively, and Stephon Diggs. But all of these guys, they're not top 10 guy. It's kind of like they're kind of like the Sam Bradfords of their position. It's a lot of guys that are in the middle, but there's not a lot of guys that are at the top, and that's not going to be good enough, ultimately.
10. What are we hearing on Laquon Treadwell, by the way? Is he going to be a guy that makes plays?
I think Greg nailed it.
He's playing this year, so that's different. Like, he's going to be starting. Yeah. We'll see what happens.
Better than last year.
All right, moving on. Nick Shook, the Detroit Lions.
The Lions had a hot start to the preseason, destroying the Colts and perhaps finding a new weapon in wide receiver Kenny Galladay. Since then, they've had some bad things happen. They lost defensive end Kerry Hyder for the season. Galladay's been a non-factor since then. And Ziggy Ansah still hasn't played. He's supposedly on track to play week one.
A lot of guys like that right now. They haven't practiced, but he's going to play week one.
Which I can understand, especially in week four. What's the reason to play them?
Right.
But I won't believe it until I see them on the field or off the inactive list come Sunday. I think another position that they need to really play well in the absence of Taylor Decker is the left tackle spot. Greg Robinson they've brought in to try to alleviate it. And we know what you can get out of him or can't get out of him. And also offensively, what are they going to get out of Amir Abdullah? Because he's a guy who's got a lot of talent and you can see it in him, but he hasn't necessarily produced that so far. And I think that goes a long way to how they succeed offensively. Defensively, I think they're a little thin up front. We kind of, already covered that, but on the back end, they should be okay. They were one of the worst defenses in the league last year. So there's really nowhere to go but up.
Abdullah is a guy that jumps out to me because, we've been talking about him for a couple of years now in terms of being a guy that can be a real big-time playmaker. And let's face it, they need somebody to come in there, whether it's on the offensive or defensive side of the ball, and kind of electrify that place a little bit because they're kind of they just exist right now, the Lions. Can Abdullah be that guy?
I was waiting for that take because I think the Lions have gotten a lot of grief in this room. You thought they're just lazy.
For good reason.
To training camp.
I'll get to camp.
Here's a hot take. This is a fun offense to watch. I enjoyed watching them last year, and they should be more fun. Matthew Stafford is a fun quarterback to watch.
Yeah.
Amir Abdullah is a fun quarter, is a fun running back to watch. If he can stay on the field, he's exciting. Marvin Jones has a lot of potential. Didn't quite stay consistent, but he's had a good preseason. Golden Tate's long been one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Galladay here was making some highlights.
Eric Ebron?
He's got a little bit of juice.
Give me a little more Eric Ebron juice.
Ebron's got to do it too.
I don't know about that last part, but here's the thing. Matthew Stafford, who had mechanical issues, you know, left and right, his whole career, very frustrating to watch. I do think we love Jim Bob Cooter in this room.
Coots.
Guy actually has made a change with Matthew Stafford, and there is an up and up. But
is that narrative still happening?
I think it is,
yes,
because Matthew Stafford's been a different quarterback under him. When you open up your profile on a team, though, with roughly 7 or 8 burning questions, that's not a great thing.
Yeah. Most of them,
with not a clear answer.
They're defensively for the most part. Now they have a couple second year guys. A'shaun Robinson's had a really good training camp. They're actually going to start Anthony Zettel. A 6th-round pick has taken over.
Why not?
They have some young guys coming up that if they can emerge, Robinson especially.
7-9.
They also took down their playoff banners.
Yeah.
I feel like that's good.
That fabric is like 100 years old at this point.
Good mojo. All right. No, if you made the playoffs, they had the banners.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. All right. The Chicago Bears close out the division, Mark.
All right. Little sandwiches bet here.
Ooh.
All right.
Teaser.
How deep do we get into the Bears without talking to sandwich propositions? What week does Mitchell Trubisky make his first start? I am tired of hearing about this red shirt nonsense. John Fox is the potential issue there because we don't know what he thinks about quarterbacks. But start it off, Shook. What week for a sandwich?
Well, first off, you're the captain of playing every rookie quarterback.
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Patrick Mahomes,
Stop
Kaiser.
Preventing the inevitable.
Red shirting quarterbacks is on Mark's radar.
Because it doesn't happen.
I like bossy Mark. I like this. Brassy Mark. Stand up, be brassy, Mark.
How many games does he start?
Well, no. What week do we first see him? Whoever gets – you can split a sandwich if you want to pick the same week.
Week 3.
Yeah, so –
okay.
I don't call that a red shirt.
I'll hold off. You go ahead.
I'm looking at the schedule here, seeing the defenses they play early aren't the tops. I'm gonna go week 5. Let's unveil them for a nice Monday night game against the Vikings.
Oh no!
Poor kid,
that feels dangerous.
No, they're gonna do the classic. Hey, we want to get the kid ready during the bye week. And then they'll roll him out week 10 against the Packers, and then your pretty $19 million investment at least gets half a season before they say, oh, he's not the guy. That's my prediction there.
It's a weird situation because Glennon and Trubisky, when he ultimately plays, has a really good offensive line in front of him and potentially a good running game. So those are good things for a quarterback and maybe a decent defense. But I would say the worst wide receiver group now that Cam Meredith is out for the season in the entire NFL. Kendall Wright is their number one receiver.
Ooh. I haven't seen a quarterback, or at least remember one in recent memory, who was a free agent signing who lost so much momentum so quickly. Like Glennon has.
Yeah, and you know what? The teams that don't give their quarterbacks any receivers, you don't really give them a chance because they don't get the guys that you play don't get separation. And if your offensive line is good, you end up being in a situation where you're holding on to the ball that leads to trouble. You got to give your guy at least one weapon, an Alshon Jeffrey type. You don't give him anything, you're done.
All right, you guys are all picking very smartly. You know, at least a couple weeks into the season, I think he is taking snaps by the end of week 1, and he starts week 2 against the Bucks.
It's happened before.
And here, the one thing when we talk
he's
about
he's been awesome.
Well, yeah,
he's
when
been
we talk
so
about
much fun
that's
to
the
watch.
Thing. If he had been a dud, then you can't just bring him. But you don't go 6 weeks into a season if you're John Fox and you're 0-5. And you don't try that quarterback.
Well, you're assuming they'll be 0-5.
I'm just saying that's very likely a possibility.
Their defense could be really good. We have no idea if Pernell McPhee's even going to play, but their defense could be
They could be
decent.
Good and still go 1-4, though.
Who would have thought, though, Trubisky and Kaiser were the two rookie quarterbacks everyone got jazzed up about this preseason?
Yeah.
We all got the Packers winning the division?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No other playoff team.
No other playoff team?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, moving on to the NFC South. Greg, get us going with the Saints.
The New Orleans Saints have been needing a good rookie class for a while. They needed to get younger. They needed to get faster. And we'll see if they actually are good. But they're going to be playing a lot of rookies this year. 3 starters on the defense that's going to be playing as rookies. Marcus Lattimore, who's looked good. Who am I forgetting? Marcus Williams, who's looked good at safety. And Alex, and I wasn't sure exactly about the pronunciation there, but how does it go?
I think it's Anzalone.
Let me hear it again.
Zalone.
There we go.
Zalone.
He's the new Jairus Bird.
Zalone.
He's dude, moving like around. Like and that. Watch out for AJ Klein.
Is that guy in Sicily or something? I like that.
Watch out for AJ Klein, not a rookie, free agent pickup from Carolina who's looked really good in the preseason. One of their beat writers who does a great job, Nick Underhill, said he's the best linebacker he thinks that's been on the Saints in the last 4 years. We haven't seen this guy because he was Luke Kuechly's backup, but when he played late last year, really made a difference for them, and he could really help the Saints defense.
I don't want to put too much weight in the preseason, have to say that with every comment I make about what happened in the last month, but this is the Saints defense that Sean Payton should have begun to rebuild about half a decade ago. Thank you for finally doing it. They look interesting.
If they could just be average, that's their formula. Let's get an average defense.
They could be a playoff team.
And then
we
can be a playoff team with an average defense.
How does the backfield shake down there? I'm very interested to see because you got three guys, including the kid, who seem to be ready to get work. You figure Adrian Peterson is going to get a shot at this to be their primary guy, but maybe not. How do we see it shaking out? I don't even know what they've done in the preseason. It doesn't matter to
me. They pulled Peterson down by the goal line for Ingram. I think Alvin Kamara, I don't know how you keep him out the field.
Kamara's going to play a lot in that Reggie Bush, Darren Sproles type of role, and I think Ingram and Peterson split the snaps otherwise. I think they're going to be kind of try to be a more run-first type of team.
We have our part two of the fantasy extravaganza on Friday. I feel like the Saints are a fantasy Bermuda Triangle at the running back position. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, that's after having taken Alvin Kamara late in the draft last night.
It's like a 15th round pick, sure,
well, it's a
whatever.
PPR league, but we don't. Yeah, I like the running back situation. I like that we went there. I don't know how it's going to shake out between Ingram and Peterson, though. Some people have talked maybe Peterson ends up being the guy more than Ingram. But how do you do that to a guy who rushed for over 1,000 yards last year?
That's a fantasy problem, though. I think that's a great thing for Ingram. Oh, not absolutely. Exactly a lock to be healthy. Neither is Peterson.
Well, they're going to also, as a direct result of all the talent they have in the backfield, this is going to be the year where they kind of tone it down a little bit with Drew Brees.
I think
so. Is he going to throw for 5,000 yards again with all those weapons in the backfield?
I think you're getting Max Unger back at center fairly early in the season, it sounds like. Yeah, I think their talents at running back. They got Michael Thomas, but it's not the deepest receiver group that they've had after Michael Thomas.
Let's move on to the defense.
Right up to the end with the Saints.
Listen, when the horn goes
up,
you got to move.
I'm feeling it.
All right, is it fair to – it is fair, I will say. I'm not even going to ask you. It is fair to wonder if Matt Ryan and the Falcons offense will take a step back under Steve Sarkisian. Because think about it. Kyle Shanahan last year, it was – essentially the equivalent of a perfect game in baseball, the way he handled himself and ran that offense last year. He's gone. How concerned should Falcons fans be if this offense is simply just not going to be the same? Because you never want to be – Sarkisian, like we've said on the show, you never want to be the guy that follows the guy. You want to be the guy that follows the guy that follows the guy.
I think they were – you know, Shanahan had a perfect game – up until like the bottom of the ninth when the Patriots hit like a home run out of the park to win it. But I will say this.
Fair point. They were not good in the Super Bowl.
Greg just said this.
Well, let's take a look at the numbers before we assassinate their offense in the Super Bowl.
Three scoring drives out of 10, their lowest scoring per drive except for one game all season was one of
that
their
Ryan takes
games.
A sack, they kick a field goal, and they win.
They also look great at some way. Defense stays the same. It's more predicted to stay the same, or offense from year to year. And what's been taken away from this attack? Their offensive line is what I loved last year, too, the way they rebuilt that. You have all the same weapons, and the actual scheme from what we've seen in the preseason looks very similar. So I'm optimistic in terms of reaching statistical heights that they did last year. That won't happen.
It was never going to happen with Kyle Shanahan.
No.
They almost are underrated for how good they were. They scored the second most amount of points per drive in NFL history. Only the 2007 Patriots were better than the Falcons. So they were going to take a step back. That's just natural. But I think the defense, very young. We've talked about it on the show. I like their talent. I think that makes up for it because their defense was pretty bad. So if their defense can improve to above average, that makes up for the offensive decline.
I think they're primed to win the NFC South, and that's really probably the easiest prediction you can make in this entire show, but considering they won the conference last year, but they haven't really lost much, like you guys said. I mean, the first person I can think of offensively who they lost
no one
is fullback Patrick DeMarco. Like, that's how far down you have to go. And I also love how their offense spreads to so many different targets that it really doesn't matter because so many guys are going to catch balls or going to get hand, you know, going to get carries that, you know, it doesn't really matter if you lost a guy or two.
It's probably injuries alone that would sink them.
I think this is the best division in football. I think any one of these four teams could win the division, and it shouldn't be a shock. And I think this division has a chance to sneak three teams into the playoffs. Even though they got to play each other, they also get to play the AFC East and get those wins over those dregs like the Bills and the Jets. I love this division. It's back.
Okay. I appreciate the optimism, Greg. I will say that they did lose something, Nick Shook. I'm not joking.
Don't say the Georgia Dome.
They lost their innocence in that Super Bowl loss. And I believe in the hangover.
That I buy in.
Nick, the Bucks.
You know, well, they did gain a giant bird outside their stadium.
It's huge.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Well, they've been the darling of Hard Knocks this year. And so we've gotten a pretty close look at how things go down there.
It's like Orson Welles in front of the radio. The way Shook is.
Everyone gather around. Shooky's about to
talk. We're going to talk about the Buccaneers. John Gruden had a moment, I think, on the third episode of Hard Knocks where he looked at Jameis in a production meeting and said, what more do you need? You got two good tight ends. You got all these receivers. You got, you know, good running backs. You got a pretty good offensive line. What more do you need? Well, I think Jameis Winston is primed to have his best season yet. You could say I'm on the hype train, but when I look at that roster, and yeah, they struggled last week in the preseason. They have all the pieces that they need to be successful. It comes down to Winston, though, because every once in a while he makes one of those boneheaded plays deep in the red zone when he's getting pulled down by a defender and throws it straight in the air. He's got to cut down on those.
I don't know. You know, I don't know if he's going to get rid of that.
That's who he is right now a little bit.
And I don't know if he totally needs to. He's never going to be Tom Brady, and maybe he's not going to be Aaron Rodgers. Like, but there's been some great quarterbacks that throw some interceptions. You know, you can be Phillip Rivers. You can be Eli Manning. You can be Joe Namath, certainly. You know, you can be Brett Favre. Like, a lot of great quarterbacks threw a lot of interceptions.
Yeah. Yeah, he might always be that guy. I don't think he's going to not be that guy this year. I think he's going to drive Dirk Cutter crazy occasionally, as we've seen on Hard Knocks, which is continuing what's been an excellent season. But also keep this in mind, he's still just 23. Yeah. So he came into the league so young that it might be 5 years before we see the best version of Winston. He's still learning the game, and he's a lot of fun to watch.
The thing I love about their offense is the pairing of Mike Evans and DeSean Jackson. I love how they kind of complement each other. You got the short, speedy guy. You got the big, you know, guy who can go get the jump ball. You know, and they also love each other a lot, like as in they love themselves. According to Hard Knocks, defensively,
I love them.
I know.
Fun to watch.
It's great entertainment. The only real concern I have on defense is to stay healthy, namely Gerald McCoy. And also the back end, Chris Conte and Keith Tandy are their safeties. And that's kind of one thing no one's really talked about. I don't really know what you can expect. I know what I can expect out of Chris Conte, which isn't a ton. I don't know about Tandy. He had moments last year.
The most tired item I heard all offseason was this business that Doug Martin might not be the starter when he comes back. If he looks the way that he's looked, then that's the key to their offense too, not just Jameis Winston. That ground game, when they had essentially the NFC's best pair 2 years ago, if you can have that to center your passing game around, they can score points and make up for Chris Conte and the rest of the issues they might have on
defense.
He
stood out as much as any player in the preseason for having that juice. Like he was exciting.
Close out the division, Mark Sessler with the Panthers.
Biggest question for me in Carolina, and I need your guys' opinion on this. What have you seen out of six-round end Alexander Armas?
I've seen great burst, a knack for his surroundings, and maturity.
What position does he play?
I think Dan wrapped that up. Let's go in a different direction. Christian McCaffrey, I think one of the most exciting players we've seen in the preseason by far. He's basically they've already put his name on the Offensive Rookie of the Year award, barring some sort of issues.
Oh, please. But let's play your little boy Kaiser.
I like Mixon too, but I'm just saying McCaffrey has those plays that are going to be, you know, they're going to be on NFL.com all week long. You already can see it happening.
Nice plug.
Over under. A plug for my employer. I am good at that. Here's my over under line. 900 yards on the ground, 500 through the air, 10 total touchdowns.
1,400 total yards from scrimmage and double-digit touchdowns. That, first of all, is barring Kaiser or somebody else blowing up. That is Offensive Rookie of the Year production. I don't see why it can't happen. I think they're going to make a real effort to protect Cam this year. And with the shoulder issue and also just that he's been beat up a lot in the last few years. And getting McCaffrey the ball in space quickly, giving him the rock along with Stewart. I think I could see him producing at that level. Overs across the board.
I'll go over.
I also drafted him on my fantasy.
Over for yards and catches, but under for touchdowns. It's a lot of touchdowns.
Yeah, I like
for
that.
A little guy.
Yeah, it
gotta
is.
Get
yeah,
Jonathan Stewart some balls.
I think he's going to have a game where he scores four. Okay. He's going to have one game this year where he scores four, and it boosts the whole thing.
They're a little like the Redskins that they haven't practiced much together, so that you kind of expect them to come into the season a little slow. I mean, Cam, most notably, hasn't really practiced, and then Curtis Samuel also hasn't been on the field. So I don't know if they come out of the gates being their best offense.
Is anybody spooked at all by Ron Rivera when they asked, you know, what do you expect to see from Cam? And he's like, nobody knows. It's like when he was a rookie. you know, we'll know when the season starts. I mean, it was very honest, but it was also kind of like a little bit telling. Like,
it's true.
He's leaving the window open that Cam might not look like the guy from 2015 at all.
No one's seen him throw a pass down the field yet, and he's barely practiced with his team. But this team, this Panthers team, it wouldn't shock me if they get a bye in the playoffs. I think that these four teams have such a high ceiling if things go right because the defense – is so good on paper. I think they love those two young cornerbacks, Bradbury especially. They still have the great linebacker group. And that pass rush on the end, and now Kaywon Short and Lotulelei in the middle, it's like it's about as deep a pass rush and as solid a defense. I think Ron Rivera loves this defense.
You could see this division with a 13-3, an 11-5, and a 9-7.
Right.
All sneaking in.
You guys are really – that doesn't happen very often.
Well, when it's hard to predict who's going to take it because there's so much reason for each one of them.
I just think they all have a really high ceiling. Like, there's a lot of potential on all these teams. Like, four of the best seven or eight teams in the
This conference. Is Greg's golden period. This has been his division for a long time.
Somebody's going to fall on their face. Pick the division real quick. Mark.
Atlanta.
Sure.
Atlanta. Buccaneers with a wild card.
I got Atlanta. Against my better judgment, perhaps I'm sticking with the Falcons.
So any
I have Bucks wild card.
Wild card teams?
No. Oh yes, I do actually. I have Tampa Bay getting a wild.
I'm gonna go Falcons repeat and Saints get into the playoffs.
Ooh.
How about that?
Let's like close it. Look at you, still standing.
I'm thinking
Saints.
Of throwing all three.
So you've picked all your teams.
I'm throwing
Patriots,
the Panthers in too.
You picked the Eagles and you picked the Saints. All the Greg Ten poles.
Well, hey, newsflash. We don't actually know what we're doing when we're predicting. Why not predict something you want?
Let's move to the NFC West. Get us going, Greg, with the Seahawks.
Oh, I have to go again?
I thought we were done. Forgot about the West entirely.
All right. Just like the Green Bay Packers have timed it well in terms of their offense, I believe this is a big season for the Seattle Seahawks in that you are timing Russell Wilson's peak quarterback play with the very end of this defense having stayed together for so long. Cam Chancellor, Earl Thomas, Richard Sherman, KJ Wright, Bobby Wagner, Cliff Avril, and Michael Bennett have been teammates together on the same team for five straight years. You don't see that. This is the greatest defense of the century in terms of staying together over a long period. And I don't think it's close. It's one of the best defenses of all time. So to me, they have an absolute chance to go win the Super Bowl this year when you have Wilson at this peak and you still have this defense together one last
time. I think you've hit the nail on the head, Greg. It's the same. If you go to NFL.com, nice plug, Mark. We have all our predictions.
Nice plug by you.
On the website, and I said I feel the Seahawks have one last big run in them with this core, and this everything seems to be aligned for that to happen, where Russell Wilson is at the apex of his powers and healthy and looking like the 2015 Wilson, the defense together and still in their prime, one last big run. I see it happening. I think the Seattle Seahawks are a Super Bowl favorite to me.
You guys, wow. They're consistent. I mean, they are one of the teams that you can look at every year and say, yeah, they'll be there. And it's because of that core, like you said. The one question I really have for them and how far they'll go is on the left tackle because they lost George Fant, and I just want to know how they replace him.
That's a great question.
It's a problem, but you never knew if he was going to be – I mean, he really struggled last year.
Yeah.
Now you have a young guy. You're going to see it. You're right. It's a huge question mark for
them. I mean, the line last year or a couple of years, like last year the line caused Russell Wilson's breakdown in health.
Yep.
And it completely disrupted that offense. That needs to be a markedly better situation. I will say of all these players that went and got in shape in the offseason and I did this and that with my diet, Russell Wilson showed it on the field. He looks like a physically different person. He looks faster. He looks fully healthy. So you're getting him from full go in week one.
You're hoping Paul Richardson stays healthy. You're not sure what you're going to get out of Lockett. But it's a deep backfield right now. This guy, Chris Carson, every year Wes talks about who's going to be the rando that shows up in the preseason. Chris Carson runs on the field like he's Batman. I mean, he's not built like a normal running back, and I just love the way he runs. He's fun to watch. Between him and Rawls, I think that's going to be
so basically it's every year for the Seahawks they get one of these guys, though, basically.
Greg, I just cut another shot of you in the monitor. If for some reason when you're in the middle of a point and it's just like, it's amazing. All right, let's move on. I'll talk about the Arizona Cardinals. All right, basic question. Can the Cardinals protect their old man, QB? Carson Palmer showed in the second half of last season that he could still sling it. It's football jargon, Mark. but it'll be 38 in December. He's an injury risk. We know that. The offensive line has been suspect for a while now. You know, we were talking – who was the bad lineman we were talking about earlier that they're putting a lot of faith in the tackle?
Greg Robinson.
How about a little DJ Humphreys protecting Carson Palmer's blind side? Is this all a recipe for disaster? Drew Stanton warming up on the sideline.
What? I mean, you're asking us to predict if he'll last, which I think is tough to do. You took basically my move there. I will say this. I think there is a lot to be hopeful about in Arizona – on defense, which in terms of Kimdiche and guys like Honey Badger that looked completely refreshed and new this preseason. Offense, there were issues connecting. I think it boils down to John Brown being John Brown.
And he was
right away.
Had a couple touchdowns in the last game. That definitely got them excited. It's an interesting last stand type of season because you feel like this might be it for Palmer, might be it for Fitzgerald, might be it for Arians. That's a lot. That's a lot of pressure to put on a team.
I watched Bruce Arians' body language in the preseason so far and even in his press conferences. He's never a cheery guy. But I could almost feel him sweating already. I think he knows the gravity of the season.
You know what I love, though, about this team? And I've been saying they're a playoff team all offseason. I was thinking of jumping off it for one of these NFC South teams. But then I looked at the schedule. And you get the 49ers and the Rams, who are a little better, but that's four games. And you get the AFC South out of division. That's a big-time edge to the Seahawks and the Cardinals in terms of trying to boost up that win total. Those are all very winnable games, four games against the AFC South for the Cardinals. And that's why I think they'll be a wild card team.
David Johnson is also an MVP candidate, obviously. And I know, Greg, I think you wrote in that preview piece the idea that he could have a 1,000 season in him potentially. You're dealing with that type of talent in the backfield. So if you have Carson Palmer healthy, when you have a weapon like that, if John Brown's healthy, if Larry Fitzgerald does another year in the tank, there are a lot of ifs in play here. If Honey Badger really does get back to where he was, if Kimdiche actually lives up to his draft standing this year, a lot of things I feel like have to go right. And sometimes I feel like their window did close two seasons ago, and we're still keeping it open a little bit. But I'm not convinced that this is anything more than a 9-7 team.
They would have been a 9 or 10 win team last year with a couple kicks and a couple breaks, and that was with a lot of things going wrong. We talked about the Lions don't have a lot of top tier talent. This team has a lot of top tier talent. Like their top 10 players are right there with top 10 players from other.
Yeah, and them going 9-7 and bowing out or missing the playoffs is not a success.
Nick Shook, one of the league's laughing stocks last year, the 49ers. Oh. Things looking up.
I thought that's what he was saying.
I would not do that. Look at the man. Jesus.
2-14 last year and pretty ugly to watch. For some reason, I ended up with a lot of 49er games to monitor last year, so I got to know him pretty well. One of my favorite guys
Lucky
on the team.
You.
Means you're at the end of the depth chart.
Yeah,
no,
I know. I understand. I know where I stand. Don't worry. Vance McDonald was one of my favorite guys, and he just got traded. So that's going to be a thing that's going to make me sad about the Niners this year when I watch them again and again and again. the other exciting point from their offense was a backup quarterback who they drafted this year in C.J. Beathard, who has the town talking. But he's not exactly someone I would pin my hopes and dreams on either. You know what you get in Brian Hoyer. Kyle Shanahan is going to be the right guy for the job in the long run. And I think John Lynch is the right GM. They've kind of taken the whole spaghetti approach and just thrown a lot of it at the wall and seeing what sticks. Offensively, they've added some talent in Pierre Garçon and Marquise Goodwin and Aldrick Robinson. Really didn't add Goodwin, but, Aldrick Robinson. And then the most exciting point for them, and I think Connor sticks with me on this, is their defense has been really fun to watch.
Well, they've drafted well, and it's worked out with so far with the players they picked. And I think that if you look at a team that can say, you know, maybe the 49ers, if you're just going to expect them to go 3-13, that script may not work, because I could see them staying close in certain games. Kyle Shanahan is one of the best play callers, and he already seems to start to have, in some way, the makings, not the Falcons offense, but the type of wide receivers, the type
Goodwin.
Of players.
Goodwin
playing
has
that
been
role.
Like their best receiver in yeah. practice all offseason, and then it shows up in the
Absolutely.
Game.
So I could see them, this kind of team, if you want to see growth, if you want hope as a 49ers fan, it's a little ugly out of the gate. You get some flow. Brian Hoyer's probably not going to start every game for you, but he's going to do some good things, some bad things. And you win one or two games, maybe in your own division down the stretch, that causes problems for some of these upper teams, the Cardinals and the Seahawks.
I think the two worst teams in the league last year, the Browns and the 49ers, I think both of those teams could surprise people and win 5 to 7 games in that range. I think the 49ers are going to be better because better coaching, a better quarterback, and an improving defense. I think they're going to surprise people.
I think the Browns were a much better team than San Francisco last year. The 49ers were about as bad as it gets. They were lucky to win two games. They were not competitive. This team will be competitive. They have really good things. The front seven, I mean, Reuben Foster has to be one of the favorites for defensive rookie of the year, because those guys that just get 100 tackles going sideline to sideline, that's who wins that award sometimes. Solomon Thomas looked good. You got Arik Armstead. You've got a young defense. Their cornerbacks are probably the worst cornerback group in the entire league. So it's still an unfinished team.
I think their defense is exciting for them this year, but I think they'll be on the field too much. And that's why I have them winning no more than 4 games.
All right, let's pick the division real quick. Mark?
We're just skipping the Rams.
Yeah, how dare you?
You know, it's funny, too, because it's Alex Wilkes' last show behind the glass video producing. So rude that we would skip his team, or I would skip. I apologize. Mark, close us out with the L.A. Rams.
Wilk. The Rams with another new coaching situation. Not that different than San Francisco. This isn't one of the most depressing teams in the league like they were last year. But I get a little annoyed, and I knew this was going to happen, and it did. The whole Jared Goff thing, we've talked about it before. The expectations are so ultra low that if he went and had like 2/3 of the season of Trevor Siemian, they'd be saying, wow, what a jump. What a jump. By the way, this was the number one pick in the draft. Why is it this way? And secondly, what is actually true growth from Jared Goff? I don't want to hear he throws 7 touchdowns, but boy, he's getting the ball out quicker. This is the number one pick in last year's draft. I want to talk about what is true growth.
More touchdowns than interceptions.
Better be.
Just looking comfortable. Looking like an NFL quarterback. I think if he had a solid season, they'd have to be happy about it. He gets 3,500 yards.
It's kind of a sneaky, not even sneaky, it's a huge season for him, because if they face plant for a second straight year, playing in L.A. for a second year, and they are near the top of the first round, could they be tempted to get sucked into what's supposed to be a really great quarterback class? I think he would really have to struggle for them to be in that conversation, but crazier things have happened. We've said it on this podcast. I'm excited to see what he's like with a real coaching staff and some actual supporting players. But he hasn't earned the benefit of the doubt from anyone yet.
I think we're in an era where teams aren't afraid to jettison guys they don't think are the guy. I mean, we just
totally
saw
agree.
Houston do it with Brock Osweiler. They surrendered a second round pick just to get rid of him. So I like that idea. I think that might be a little extreme right now since we haven't.
I mean,
seen
they traded a bunch of picks just to get into that spot to get him with the first overall pick. That should buy you more than 2 years, but the NFL. It's an interesting draft class coming up.
Sammy Watkins hasn't made a big impact in the preseason. That's fine. It's not a big deal. But you do wonder if his deep speed can be taken advantage by Goff, who hasn't shown the ability yet to really go vertical, or the inclination as much as a guy, let's say, like Kaiser or Trubisky, where I think they don't show that hesitation to pull the trigger, and maybe Jared Goff has to this point.
I want to ask Wilk, as a legitimate Rams fan born and raised in SoCal.
He has no microphone, so we'll give him a little time.
Yeah. So, Wilk, where is the expectation of a real Rams fan in L.A. right now?
Pretty low.
Yeah.
But I think there is hope. I don't think that there is expectations of coming close to a division title, but I think there's hope to be 6-10, which would be an improvement, and then to grow from there.
And you got Wade Phillips. You got Wade Phillips and some – pretty good defensive pieces if you get Aaron Donald back.
Can Jared Goff play?
Yeah, a little.
Damning with faint praise there. Yeah. All right, pick the division. Now we'll pick the division, Mark.
Seattle will win it. No other playoff teams.
Yeah, I'm with him on that.
Three.
I feel like Mark didn't pick. Who are your wild cards? Did he pick any wild
cards? Philadelphia and Tampa Bay.
Ooh, yeah, I should. That. Wow, Mark and I both, I didn't mention, I have Philadelphia as my other wild
card.
Yeah, they're the second wild card for me.
I love this.
Did we agree on every pick?
I just am trying to remember what I picked for NFL.com because last year I spread my picks over so many different media formats that I was right and wrong.
Should
about
we fact check Mark?
I got the Seahawks winning this division and the Cardinals in the playoffs.
Mark, you got the Eagles as a wild card. I love right it. There. And the Bucks. You said that, right?
That's what I said.
All right. Good.
Good job, Mark.
You had the Seahawks in the West.
How does my Super Bowl pick look compared to those NFL.com people? They're going to think this guy needs to be fired immediately if they aren't already thinking that.
I think you're sticking with your picks this year and the Giants.
Yeah.
Look at you. Good for you. All right.
That's
good.
I
That's
do.
Progress. That's Jared
It is
Goff.
Progress.
Year one to year two progress. That's what the Rams
It only took half a decade for me to actually stick to something that I said.
Old steady as he goes, Sessler.
All right. There we go. So that is our around the NFC, around the NFC in 48 minutes. A reminder that, again, this is our video show. So Tuesday, 9:30 Eastern, 6:30 Pacific. You could check it out at NFL.com/ATN video. Next week, starting next week, the schedule shifts because the season's beginning. Hooray. And our video show and our first podcast of the week will be on Tuesday, unless you count Sunday. Sunday, the first day of the week or the last day of the week?
I think Sunday's the first day.
It's the first. Technically, I've thought the first.
But before then, we still have part two of the fantasy.
Oh, yeah. I'm getting to that. The plugs are still rolling out, Greg. Friday, back. I will not be. I will be in Texas with the wife doing things. No, not charity work. Maybe I'll get involved. Maybe I won't. But I'll probably be at my parents' or my in-laws' family reunion outside Austin. You guys will carry on. And the fantasy extravaganza part two. With special guests.
I have no doubt that you will get involved in some sort of charity work down in Texas, Dan.
Thank you. Thank you for believing in me, Mark. Putting some pressure on me, quite frankly. All right. That's it. Nick Shook, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
You did it was beautifully.
Great time. Even the whole objectification of my physical being.
Yeah, yeah. We're going straight up to HR after this. I would say Kevin Patrick should steer clear of the video show. Not that I want to negatively impact.
Well, he's got the rest of us to sit next to still.
That's true.
This was like the first batting practice Shook took as a member. Yeah, he's got a ring as a member of the Shield softball team.
Yeah.
He just comes out there in that first – you know, batting practice, and balls are flying over the fence.
Well,
they certainly are.
We had a juiced bet, but don't tell anybody that.
All right, let's scrub that from the show. let's get out of here. This is Dan Hansa signing off for the Quiet Storm, for Shook, Pepper Spray, LC, and Alex Wilk, and everyone else behind the glass helping out. Thanks to everybody. Till Friday.